Chapter 3. The war vessel Sunalak, underway for decades, showed its age in a thousand small ways. Luminescent colonies of lichen and bacteria grew at intervals near its passengers' head level. Many of those colonies flickered, and some had dulled or dimmed. Communication nodes, where tiny non-dedicated villips stood on protrusions of fiery red-orange fong coral, had turned as gray as ash. Striding down one of its coral-lined arteries, Sa Vong La ignored those marks of age and death. A living cape clung to his shoulders by its needle-clawed gripping fingers. Rust-colored scales hung like armor plates from his breastbone and shoulder blades. Each larval armor scale had been seated against bone while a priestly choir sang atonal incantations on his behalf, renewing his pledges of devotion to Yun Yamka, god of war. Over half a year, the plates had grown slowly, stretching his tendons, tugging his joints to new angles. Then the priests had declared Sa Vong La's painful transformation to War Master complete. Sa Vong La embraced pain. Suffering honored his gods, who had created the universe by sacrificing parts of themselves. Two sentries stood ahead. Their claw joints were immature and deadly sharp, their tattooed insignia far from complete. Outside his communication center, they snapped their fists to opposite shoulders. Sa Vong raised one hand, receiving their homage and signaling his door. The organic door valve thickened at its edges, then dilated. A striking young attendant, black honor bars burned across her pale cheeks, sat at her station. Seif sprang up and saluted. As she did, her seat extended pseudopodia and propelled itself sideways.
"War Master," she said reverently. "I roused the Master Villip in your privacy chamber, and I commanded the executor to present himself."
She strode to the far bulkhead. This part of Sunalak had grown an array of geometrically staggered coral blastulas, where dozens of smaller villips lay quiescent. Sa Vong La strode past them into the largest blastula of all. He waited until the cubicle's sphincter closed, then frowned at the leathery ball isolated on a display stand. Budded like yeast from master villips and nurtured in onboard nurseries, or raised in berry-like galls that parasitized certain swamp plants, the mollusk-like genus enabled instantaneous long-distance communication. The villip mirrored the disgraced executor's face, sparely fleshed, with the crooked nose of multiple breaks showing great devotion, and maybe more vanity than was appropriate. In place of his left eye, he'd inserted a venom-spitting Pleiarian bull. Few of Nomanor's contacts had ever suspected his true identity, not even his succession of duped human servants. His long-term mission included finding and neutralizing their people's most dangerous enemies. Ironically, after his major assignment at Romamul, a few residents of the New Republic honored him as a fallen hero, slain, they thought, in a war he had actually incited. Yun Harla, the trickster goddess, seemed to smile on Nomanor.
"War Master."
The villip gave a good imitation of Nomanor's voice. Its bass undertones suggested deference and submission.
"How many have they added to your herd?"
Sa Vong asked.
6,400 since we spoke. Many came from Fondor. Another dome is under construction."
"Abominable, but temporary. Be careful not to tip your hand."
Sa Vong's fringed lips,
slit many times in devotion to Yun Yamka, curled in a smile. Fandor had resisted one of his supreme commanders, Nas Choka, less than a klekit ago. 2 months by the infidel's calendar. In the process of destroying its ghastly mechanized shipyards, Choka had taken only a few hundred captives. Then a torrent of starfire wiped out half of Choka's flotilla and three-fourths of the enemy's own ships. Savang's tacticians still were trying to decide whether that had been a deliberate sacrifice on the enemy's part. The infidel's usual urge to preserve life had been their greatest weakness, their most heinous spiritual perfidy. Were they learning? Had they discovered that sacrifice was the key to victory? According to spies, the torrent originated in the system the infidels called Corellia, at a monstrous mechanical installation they named Centerpoint. Until Savang La's strategists could explain the weapon's hideous power, they advised him to find a coreward staging point that lay behind multiple gravity wells from Centerpoint's direct line of fire. By happy coincidence, the disgraced executor had been sent to just such a world.
"Watch for worthy ones," Savang reminded him. "With better sacrifices, we might be cleansing the inner worlds now."
Nomanor ducked his head.
"And Jedi,"
he promised, pronouncing the difficult word well. He'd lived among these people for years.
"Difficult to catch, but some seem worthy."
Savang La nodded and touched the ridge crest of Nomanor's villip. The face faded and smoothed out. The villip retracted, sucking itself back through its mouthhole. On his distant world, Nomanor would be putting his new masker back on. Not an Uglith, but a newly bred type that imitated a non-human species. Anor's human contact on the enemy's capital world had agreed to deliver shiploads of captives to his current system. As soon as Savang arrived there, he would have the glad task of sorting the worthy from the unworthy. A reverent mass sacrifice might convince mighty Yun Yamka to let Savang reach the galactic core, where fertile gardens, tended by fecund slave races, were promised by the Supreme Overlord. 6,000 more infidels would enhance the sacrifice, bringing him that much closer to the world he truly wanted to offer his gods. Coruscant.